see. Right now, Ryan Rashog joins us from St. Louis, where I'm guessing it's not as rainy as it is here in Edmonton. But Shogger, oh my goodness, the fans of St. Louis have had to wait 51 years. And now they are one win away. Is their last win tarnished in your eyes?
No. I mean, like, calls happen. Missed calls happen. Bad calls happen. Good calls happen. I mean, you can't take anything away from St. Louis. It's not, nothing's tarnished. There's no asterisk. It's just the ebb and flow of playoff hockey. And this year, we've had more of these things to talk about than usual. And the league, I'm sure, will try and do something to address it. But I don't take an ounce away from St. Louis. Not at all. There's so many other factors that go into them winning that game. And yes, they caught a break there. But, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's, you know what, should have been a tripping call for sure. I could see the ref if he thought maybe because of the right leg kick there is a slight embellishment there or not. Who knows? They probably should have whistled them down both. I think that's fair. Marchand then a few minutes later, if people are looking for even up calls, what have you, they didn't get one when he kind of low bridge Tarasenko. It's going to happen, but I'll say this: Jordan Binnington to me is the bigger reason the Blues won rather than a missed call. He was outstanding last night.
Yeah, and in the early going, like, you know, we sat there and we watched the announcement of the starting lineup, and it was interesting that the Bruins decided to do it that way. You don't normally in game five of a series line everybody up along the blue line and do introductions like that. You do it in game one mm-hmm. of a new series, and then you do it in game three when the series switches cities, but you don't do that in game five. And the Blues were told that it would only be in Game 1 and Game 3. And then the Bruins decided they wanted to do it again. Well, you can understand why. They were chasing that moment. That moment where Chara was announced and the place went absolutely crazy. And it was an interesting tack because, I mean, it turned into momentum. Like, they played really good in that first period. And Jordan Binnington was the primary reason the Bruins didn't have a two-goal lead to work with, at least heading into the second period. You know, and when all the energy was in the building and everybody was all fired up, he was the one that locked it down and gave his team a chance to settle into that game.
And not that the Blues, you know, that he hasn't played well before in this series, Ryan, but I thought last night was kind of the first time that they really relied on him to keep him in a game.
Yeah, they fired a bunch of shots at him.
Yeah.
You know, they got lots of pucks at him, so we had to be good. And some of the saves were big saves, like big, you know, nice difference-making saves. I would agree with you. Like, so he gets pulled a couple of games ago, and everybody's wondering, what's this going to look like? Well, he bounces back and he grabs a win, and then comes back with an even stronger performance and solidifies himself and kind of the confidence that group will have in him even more. Like, Binnington is, the fact that he's doing all this for the first time and that he hasn't been perfect, but he's met every challenge and he's bounced back just about every time, that just speaks volumes about the fortitude that this guy comes with.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. A suspension, and the Blues, this is the second Blues player suspended in this series. Barbashev now gets a one-game suspension for his hit on Marcus Johansson, and I think it's a fair, valid suspension. No question
about it. Pretty standard, hey?
Pretty standard. I would say it, and that's fine. I have no problem with it. I look at it, the Blues. Not that these are big name guys that are suspended, Ryan, but these are guys that have made an impact in the series. And the last time, the Blues got spanked when one of their guys was out. I'm not saying it was just because of him, but I'm curious how they'll respond this time to ensure that they don't get shellacked.
Yeah, sorry, the Blues don't, you mean, after...
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. Like, so the Barbashev, I mean, the suspension is, I'm fine with it. Like, he caught, too big a chunk of the guy's head, and it was, I don't think it was necessarily on purpose or vicious, but that's the way it goes. If you get a little bit irresponsible with the hit, you got to pay a price, and a Stanley Cup final game is a heavy price. It's interesting, I was noting about Barbashev, during the regular season this year, he had 86 hits, and he played, I think, 80 games. He's played 24 games in the playoffs and already has 80 hits. So you talk about the way the playoffs can get to somebody, and the way, you know, how it can just make you understand you got to do things. He's been an extremely physical player in these playoffs and in this series in particular. He leads the Blues in hits. And, you know, so that element is definitely missed. Like, he's an aggressor out there a lot. The one thing I think that has significantly changed in this series, though, Gregs, is the Bruins have lost the edge that came with the power play being so devastating. Like, yeah. The Blues were trying to walk this fine line before of playing physical, but also not getting decimated by that Bruins power play. So they didn't want to take it too far because they were just getting stung. Well, back-to-back games now, they've done a really good job penalty killing, and it's taken so much swagger out of the Bruins because 5-on-5, the Blues have been as good or better for pretty much the entire series.
They totally have, and the Bruins are, I'm sure we will find out at the end of this series, there's some guys nagging injuries, or do you just think the Blues have done a great job? Because, you know, Marchand, Krejci, Bergeron, you know, outside of, you know, game three when their power play allowed a lot of goals and they scored 7, those guys really haven't been consistent factors in this series at all.
Colton Parayko, Jay Bouwmeester, Alex Pietrangelo, you know, Bortuzzo, Gunnarsson. The Blues D-Core has done a really good job on those players. We're constantly remarking in the press box about how they just, Boston is having such a hard time of getting lots of second chances from the inside. Everything is held outside. And Colton Parayko, he's not as mean as Chris Pronger. He's not like, he's a big guy, but he doesn't have that vicious edge to him. But he is giving them such steady, good minutes. He moves well. He separates people from pucks. He's got a great stick. He's just logging all kinds of ice time and just playing so incredibly well for them. Like, they, you know, and Jay Bouwmeester, though, he's getting on in age by NHL standards. He's given him really good minutes, and he's skating incredibly well, you know, when you consider the things we were hearing about him earlier on this year. So I'm extremely impressed with their core blue liners.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, there's, you know, it's getting now to a fun time. If you love to discuss kind of what if scenarios and rumblings and rumors and everything like that, but the James Neal to Edmonton makes absolutely no sense to me. Does it for you?
No. What was the? And I was sort of on a travel day, so yeah. I haven't.
There was a report came out that, you know, the order said, you know, kick tires, which, and I made the joke earlier. I'm trying to sell a vehicle right now, and people call and they lowball you. I'm like, does that qualifies kicking tires? I guess technically it does, but it just, you know, a Lucic for Neal doesn't make any sense for Edmonton to say, oh, okay, we'll get rid of it, we'll save a little bit of cap space, but now we have a fifth year of James Neal. Like, no thanks. Like, it doesn't. And I don't see how Calgary would do that either, right? Like, there's, if you're trading one, yeah, of Neal or like, because there was talk about a three-way deal, Erickson, Neal, and Lucic, and I really think it's just somebody spitballing, okay, there's three Western teams and they've all got a terrible contract, let's just trade it internally. But the difference is Erickson's 3 years, Lucic is 4, and Neal's 5.
Well, and I mean, yeah, I don't think you want to, I don't think you want to trade Milan Lucic to the Calgary Flames. Like, I know he's not necessarily going to decimate you offensively, but you don't need to be playing against him all the time either. Like, that's not, you know, and I just don't think that, I don't know that deal really makes much sense for anybody. So, I mean, I don't know where the report came from. Don't know who's floating it or speculating at it or whatever. This is the time of year where all sorts of stuff's going to get thrown against the wall. But Milan Lucic to the Calgary Flames doesn't make a lot of sense for the Oilers taking on an extra year. And now Neal, they might get more offense between now and in the next couple of years than they would have out of Lucic, but I don't know how that works for anybody.
Yeah. It was Elliot Friedman who said it on Staff Show, Case, right?
Yep.
And, you know, and kicking tires, we'll see how it is. But
so, okay, well, you know what? When you say Elliot Friedman, I'll go, okay. Like, that's obviously Elliot's extremely plugged in, so if that's what he's saying, then, you know, but if you evaluate it a little bit, and although, you know, the one thing I will say is Ken Holland is coming in with, like, no preconceived notions of anything. He's coming in with a completely fresh set of eyes, looking at it, going, you know, what do I got to do to make this team better without a care of other hang-ups that guys who had been, you know, managing here for a couple of years might have. So.
And my bad, Neil actually only has 4 years. He has the exact same amount of time.
Yeah, would you want to play against Lucic if you were the Oilers? Like, I mean...
Yeah, no.
Would you trade him to a division rival? I mean, I guess to get him under the money, but just to take on someone else's kind of issue contract?
Yeah, I'm not... I'm really not concerned. I understand that Milan Lucic physically, you know, might lay a big hit every now and then. I get it. But he's not a guy right now that I'd be like, oh, geez, you know, we might have to face him. I don't have that fear factor when it comes to Milan Lucic. He gets in on the forecheck and he's physical and he can lay the hammer down. Sure, there's not many guys still in the league that want to fight him, although that doesn't happen very often anyway. But when I look at other elements of his game, no, I don't really have a fear factor. Just me personally, that if I was Ken Holland to say, well, geez, we got to face Milan Lucic, what is it now, 4 times, and then potentially in the playoffs? Yeah, I wouldn't be that concerned.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. They definitely are. They're going to do everything they can to get out from under the contract. I don't know if there's a deal out there that's going to be able to make that happen. And the Eriksson thing out of Vancouver's never made sense to me. Like, I would just hang on to Lucic before I would take on Eriksson. Because, I mean, if Eriksson's not scoring, he's not really able to do anything for you at all. Whereas Lucic, never mind his cap number, is still a serviceable bottom six forward.
Yeah, the only benefit there is Eriksson has one fewer year, so you would get out from the contract a year early. That's to me is the big benefit in that one. I do know this for a fact though, that the Vancouver Canucks did discuss internally the optics of a Eriksson for Lucic trade. Right, like their group did discuss that. I have that from a very good source inside the Canucks. So now, just because you discuss it, Shogger, doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition. And I think at that point you're looking, how can we try to maximize, like even if you have to pay $6 million and you believe a guy can give you 3 or 4 or 5% more production overall, then you would make the trade.
Yeah, and I mean there's the whole coming home factor with Lucic too and all of that, and that's a town he would wave to go to, I would have to assume, and all of those things. There's been a lot of talk between Vancouver and Edmonton about this for a while, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if Ken Holland can find a solution for this, you know, what it looks like by the start of the year, or if Lucic just comes back and under a new head coach tries to get a bit of a fresh start and see if he can get something clicking with Dave Tippett behind the bench.
Shogger, will the St. Louis Blues end their drought this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah, I think so. I think I've seen enough from this Blues group that they... even when Boston pushes, they find a way to absorb it, and they can push back. And they're a fast-starting team, which I think makes a huge difference. They're good early on in periods. And so, you know, the combination of the energy they're going to have in the building, you know, I think they're a healthier team. I think they're going to win it.
Well, Shire, enjoy the party in St. Louis. If it happens, just be careful getting home that night.
Yeah, for sure, buddy. We'll talk on Monday. Break it all down.